dear friends of ours. They fed us last night. You're amazing. You guys always just bless us so much. Welcome this morning. Heather. Thanks, Heather. It's good to have you here. I think Sofiso is still on sixth honeymoon? so they are still away. And Jackie is with the family. Dong is on honeymoon, so praise God. We can pray for all of them. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. And this morning I want to speak about a few things that is progressively in my heart building, and I think you guys have noticed that in the past few weeks. And I want to just go on with that, and want to ask you to even turn to Genesis chapter 15, verse 5 and 6. We'll be starting there. There's a lot of information, so please, guys, write it down. Get into the habit of writing these things down so that you can go and meditate on it. Don't lie to yourself. By Tuesday, you'll forget about it, okay? I know you are super amazing, blessed from God, right out of the throne room. But we all are humans, and we forget these things. And, God wants us to treasure these things so that this message is not just for the pastor. I hope you recognize that. It is definitely with a pastor as well. So I want to say that God is walking a journey with me personally. But I also know that God is speaking to us as a congregation and taking us on a journey. So please have the building blocks and write these things down and meditate on it during the week. And I want to start this morning with Genesis chapter 15. And I want to actually speak about Abraham as a man of God that dared to breach the line to become an overcomer. And I believe that we many times on this earth just settle for second best. We settle for the status quo because we feel intimidated and overwhelmed by what the world is bringing against us. And if we only know that we are overcomers. And that God has called us for a certain purpose, and we must actively pursue that purpose. And that's why I want to talk about Abram, because he was such a man. And if you look at the earth today, I want to just be clear on it. Guys, if we look at what's happening all over the earth, it needs fixing. I think all of us agree on that, is it not so? The stuff that is just happening worldwide, I'm not even talking about the weather patterns, I'm talking about politics, I'm talking about just society, how the fabric of society is falling apart, and we were just speaking last night about it, the fact that, in our family lives, we must be so protective protect our children against the onslaught of the enemy. Now, I want to just prove it to you this morning, and talking about Abram's life. Now, let's read the Genesis 15, verse 5 and 6. And he brought him outside and said, "Look toward heaven and the number of the stars, if you are able to number them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Now, the beautiful thing about Abram's story, this was a time when God made a covenant with Abram. Now, we know the story so well, but I want to remind you that at this stage, Abram was in Ur, and he was moving toward, the promised land that God has given him. But Ur was a shepherd's village, close to the Ephrates, which is a river that was on the banks of this river. There was a lot of wealth. And this wealth actually started to, bring in the fabric of that society at that stage a lot of wrongdoing, a lot of idol worship. And I think at that stage, Abram was an idol worshiper himself. He was confronted by it by God. And he was at a place where he had to make sense out of the influences that was busy infiltrating in his life and in his family. And so he's sitting now, and just to give you a perspective, for those of you that don't know, this is in Iraq, as we know it today, that he is sitting. And he has to move all the way toward Israel to go and seek God's promise for his life. Now, this is not like we know it, getting onto the 93 or, you know, the 493 or whatever bus. You know, it's one of those things where you would travel day for day, you know, just one day at a time, and you would find a shelter along the route. So those days they had little routes that you had to walk with your whole caravan of people, of, you know, all your livestock that you had. And you had to then go from one shelter to the other. And this is also what we see in the Bible when Jesus says he's busy preparing the shelter for us in heaven, the home in heaven. This is what Jesus is referring to. The same kind of shelter that the guys in those days had to walk from one day apart to go and rest in a place of safety. And at least a few tribes he had to confront going toward the place that God has called him to. So this is not an easy walk. It's not an easy confrontation. He was quite settled at this stage. He had a lot of livestock. And so Abram had to make a choice to go into the unknown. Now, can I just say that area, especially the area around the Ephrates, was an area that was known for the moon worship. They had a temple where they actually, and there's a lot of proof that through history shown, that at that time, people actually was really godless. This was only the fourth generation after Noah. Now, people, we're talking about four generations, and the world became so ungodly. It's only Noah's offspring. This is the place of Shem, and this is also a place where his family grew to a place where they, after four generations, started to serve other gods. I just want to say to you this morning, humans will always tend to destroy themselves if they are left to their own devices. Are you with me this morning? Because if we are not saved by God, after four generations, the world will look like the world of Shem. And at this stage, Abram says to himself, listen, I need to go to the promises of God, because this God that I'm serving, I need to be faithful to the things that he has called me to, because he has a dream and a purpose for my life. And walking into this unknown, we see that Abram starts to discover that it's not always so easy. We know about Isaac, and we know about many things that happened in Abram's life where he had to walk into obedience. Now, there's a few things about overcomer and about Abram's life that I want to share with you this morning. But the first thing is, in order to be an overcomer, you must get beyond the line of the unknown. Hebrews 11 verse 8. By faith, Abram obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. You'll only know God is enough if you have nothing left but God. Now, can I just say this morning, overcoming Christian are those who send ahead of others to pioneer a new move from God. To be an overcomer means that you and I must become pioneers, not even having role models to follow. Which means that it will become a very lonely battle as we pursue God's plans and purposes for our lives. Because the line of the unknown says to you and I that we must make a decision, even though we can't see, to follow the promises of God. Now, can I just say this morning to you, many of us are sitting here, and I want to just include myself in that. I want to say, There's so many unknown things in my life that I need to step into and trust God to overcome. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you realize that the workplace that you're in needs God. And something must change about the status quo in your workplace. But for too long, you've been quiet and you've not been praying that God would change it. And God wants you to walk into the unknown and step into obedience and trust Him to fulfill His purpose. You are not in your current circumstances by mistake. Woo-hoo! Are you with me? Guys, we so easily fall in the trap where we forget that God has placed us in a certain place at a certain time to walk into the unknown and trust Him to fulfill His plans and purposes in our lives. And so, Abram had to trust God to go where he's not gone before. The second thing that is important about an overcomer, the line of the impossible. Hebrews 11, verse 11 to 12. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of the heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. This is not nice words to a man of the faith of Abram. Him as good as dead. Okay, guys, this is a joke. Can I just say to you this morning, Abram himself laughed about God's promises. When the angels of God came to visit them, him and Sarah had a good laugh about the fact that they were over 90 years old already. They've had this promise of God in Ur, and they had all to move all the way in faith to a land that was destitute, a land that they had to make a new beginning. And since the age of over 100, they were waiting in desperation for God to do anything in their lives. Now, can I just say to you, some of us, if by a year God don't come through for us, we start to doubt God and get frustrated with what God is doing in our lives. This man has been waiting 90 years, and by the time the angel come to him and say, listen, you are still going to have children, you're still going to experience the promise of God, you're still going to have your Isaac, you're still going to have... Abram even doubted God and he said, God, but can't it just be Ishmael? Can't we just settle with Ishmael, because at least, you know, Ishmael is already born? So maybe I will see your promises in this lifetime. Are you with me this morning? Can I just say to you this morning, many of the promises of God will not be fulfilled in your lifetime. I see it in my children. Many of the things that I've prayed for God for my life is busy happening in my children's lives. Many of the things that Milani's mother prayed to fulfill in her lifetime, I can see Milani is fulfilling that in hers. So I want to just say to you this morning, Abram did not see the promises of God in his lifetime. He only saw the start of a process, of a beginning of the blessing of God being fulfilled in his life because God was faithful. And even in that, God started to challenge him and say to him, give your Isaac to me. And I want to say to you this morning, sometimes we get so fascinated over our calling and God's promises over our lives that we forget that it's God's dream. And we are just so fortunate to be part of it. The amazing thing about reaching toward God's promises of our lives is the fact that we cannot fulfill it. We don't have the ability to have everything come together for our good. And isn't it so that if we push through and we go through our storms and, you know, we start doubting and by the grace of God we get back to faith and we trust God again, we get to a point where all the puzzle pieces start to fall in place and we see what was actually the things that God wants for our lives. But can I just say to you this morning, for you and I, when we want to be overcomers, it means that we serve God even though we don't see any result. And this is Abram's life. God, I don't know what you're doing. God, giving up Isaac at my age is as good as a death penalty. It then should, or maybe must be, Ishmael, because if Isaac dies, you know, I cannot do anything other than just trust you to fulfill your promises in my life. The best of it all is that Isaac actually believes God's promises over his dad's life. He willingly go and lie on the altar, and he must admit that, God, there's something going in my dad's life because I've seen it so many times in the past. And so I want to say to you, when we serve God, when we start to become those people that overcome, you will not always see the results because it's greater than what you can ever imagine. Listen to Hebrews 11 verse 6. And without faith it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Romans 12 verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Now, I want to just say to you this morning, each one of you have a certain level of faith. Just turn to the person next to you and say, I've got a certain measure of faith. Just to make sure that you are awake this morning. Okay, you don't believe it. The Bible says you've got a certain level of faith in your life, which means that for some of us, it's actually very small. Why? Because you've not been where Abram was, trusting God to just, at first, move into a promised land that he doesn't know anything about. And God, I don't know if you're going to come through for me. I don't know if this is a death penalty for my life when we face other tribes in this area. But God, I'm going to walk. There's so many things that Abram can talk about when he talks about God's faithfulness over his life. And you know what? Those things are memorial stones in his life that brings him to a place where he walks from faith to faith. And I want to say to you this morning, you know, faith for you and I is something that grows on us. The more we see the faithfulness of God, the more we can trust Him. So don't believe that you can... Okay, no, I'm not going to say this because maybe God gives you £1 million. But start to trust God for £10 first before you do for £1 million. Is that all right this morning? God can give you £1 million. Praise God. I'm trusting God for £3 million and we can buy this building just down the road. Guys, listen. This is a journey. But it's a beautiful journey. And if you're not going to step out and start to trust God for the little in your life, He's never going to give you more because He wants to see the faithfulness in the least. And so it says in Hebrews... No, sorry, Romans. Let me not lie this morning. Romans 1 verse 17. For in it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Faith to faith. Faith will grow upon us, and it's like a muscle that you and I must practice. You know, if you don't practice that muscle, it cannot become better. And so I can tell you that the third thing is the line of positivity. Prepare for negative feedback when you step over the line. Because as faith builds, unbelief builds as well. It's like a spiral in our lives. that just grows and grows until we trust God less and less. And you know how I know this?
Testimonies. If we don't have testimonies to tell, guess what? We struggle to admit that God is powerful in our lives and He's real. That's why we need to, on a Sunday, tell one another what God has done. That's why we need to talk about the fact that, you know, we don't have enough testimonies in our lives because we are too afraid to talk about those small things that God is doing in our lives. There's a girl in South Africa, Mariette. I think you guys might know Mariette. Not this Mariette, another Mariette. Mariette is, she's really crazy. You guys know her. She's always just, you know, stirring everyone up. When you get to Mariette, you know, even if she must talk about her little toenail that, you know, God healed this week, she always speaks about something that God has done this week in her life. And it's so encouraging. When you walk out of Mariette's presence, you just feel, you know, God must be doing something in that woman's life, you know. And it's, if you think about it, it's such crazy things that she's testifying about, but it's always just, her cup is running over. Because she can testify of what God is doing in her life. And I want to say to you, the more we testify, the more we talk about the goodness of God, but we so often fall for the negative feedback in and around our lives. Hebrews 11:13, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Listen to this. If I receive breakthrough without sacrifice, it means someone before me made the sacrifice. I want to just say to you this morning, it's going to cost you to bridge the line of negativity or of positivity in your life. Because you and I must admit that, you know, it's those days when you don't feel like worshiping God, when you don't feel like doing what God wants for your life, and you don't feel like, you know, serving God at all. When you push through, those are the moments when you really experience the presence of God the most. Okay, guys, listen. Do you know that some Sunday mornings I don't want to worship? I come into this place and I think, ugh, you know what? I'd rather just go for the coffee over the street, you know, I just feel this morning. And I'm a pastor. Okay. You guys are so godly. I can see you thinking I'm crazy. I sometimes feel like that. So if you don't feel like that, sometimes I must just admit, God, I don't want to serve your things now. I just want to be in the flesh, actually. I just want to comfort myself with some coffee or... It's okay, I always encourage... Laura, you must drink coffee, please, because you're not a morning person. But... for the rest of us. Guys, I've seen you, unfortunately, when you don't drink coffee. No, I'm only joking with you. Guys, listen. Why are we so super spiritual about serving God? This battle of faith means that you need to sometimes admit that you don't want to. But it's those times when I stand, you know, here in the church, and you know, I feel, okay, let's just go through the motions, let's get this over and done with, I want to just go home and eat. Okay, I can see you guys are freaked out. I sometimes feel like that, okay? Especially when my wife prepares nice food. But you know what? I choose to be an overcomer. Because it's those moments when the flesh wants to take over in my life and the negativity and the negative reports in my life. When it starts to confront me and I choose to walk in faith. Those are the moments when I experience God's presence the most. It's those times in the worship when I deliberately choose to say, God, okay, I'm just going to start one end. And Father, I'm just going to stand like this until, you know, I can at least hear your voice. Okay, are you with me this morning? It's a choice to live and overcome the line of positivity. You and I must choose to live a life of testimony, of having God present in our lives every day. You know what? We don't know what God has in store for us because we don't spend enough time with Him. There's such beautiful things that God is doing in our lives. And so, I want to say to you, no faith for the future, no power for the present. If you can't believe what God is doing in the future and is going to do and trust in that and see God's promises in your life and start to dream about it, and I want to say to some of you this morning, maybe you should go back to the wells that God has created in your life, like Abram when he went to the promised land and he knew that there were certain wells that God wanted him to open. And I want to say to you, you are sitting maybe here this morning and there's so many wells that God spoke to you about in the past, and you forgot about them. And the spiral of unbelief started to live in your life to such an extent where those wells are well. Closed now. And you must trust God to open those wells again so that the water can start to flow in your life again. Because if we don't live according to the wells of promise and faith that God has created in our lives, we start to die. And this is Abram's life. He said, God, I dare not leave Isaac alive if this is your well for my life. And even if this is your well for Isaac's life. And Isaac had to trust this well of his father. And I want to say to you this morning, guys, some of us are sitting on wells that for long has not provided water, and God wants you to come to a place where you choose to open that well again. Listen to this, the fourth one, the pool of the world, Hebrews 11 verse 15. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. And I want to say to you guys, you know, the sad reality is the fact that people will not allow you to come to the well. People will not allow you to experience the promises of God in your life. You know why? Because it's threatening their existence. And so I've seen this in my life over and over, and I want to say to you guys this morning, know that even your family will be opposition. I've many times seen this in my family. They say to me, you know, I remember my father-in-law when he still lived, bless his soul, he was at the end such a blessing to me. But there was hard times getting there. Where I would say to him, can I marry your daughter, but I'm still an intern at the church. I don't really know about an income at this stage, but just trust me. Then I had to trust God to change his mind, to speak to him. And I want to say to you guys, normally, when you fulfill God's life for you, people in your workplace, people very close to you, would be the opposition that hinders you to get there. And if you don't know what God's promise is for your life, you will move around the mountain over and over and be intimidated by people in your life the whole time. I'm not in London because of people's choice. I'm here because God said I must be here. And I want to say, guys, make sure that you get to a place where you realize God is speaking in your life and you must fulfill that promise. you must overcome the lion of the world pulling you down. And so crowd pressure can prevent us from becoming overcomers. We see this in Saul's life. Saul had a problem as a king. He was the favorite one. Everyone loved Saul. The only problem was that this was, at the end, Saul's biggest problem, the one of satisfying the people. So when the pressure came and the armies came against Saul, Saul was afraid not to be the solution to the people under him. Now we can say that about Moses, and we can say that about many of God's people. And because of the opposition in their lives, made the wrong choice. And yet God said, Joshua will enter the promised land because he's a man of faith. He's not pleasing the people. He's doing what I want for his life. So Moses, I'll make sure that you get your prize in eternity, but you're not going to move into the promised land. And so guys, you know, I see so many unfulfilled lives. When I walk past people, you can see it in their eyes. You know, it was so sad to see that. What is that story of the monks? We spoke about it this week as well, Ed. Is it Mission? Yeah, it's the new one. These monks that went to, or priests that went to China and you know, to the East. And because of torture, at the end gave up their belief. And then you could see it in their eyes, how they lost the will to live. Because faith was not in them anymore. The promises of God was ripped from their lives. One of the things that God said to me when we got to England, he said, are you going to rely on me because of your experience? Or are you going to trust me to speak to you? It's so easy for us to fall back on the things that we know and the environment that we know, and then be intimidated by the peer pressure that people bring in our lives, rather than to follow God's promise for our lives. Genesis 18, verse 15. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was... Okay, are you still awake? It's very important that you stay awake. Because she was afraid. He said, no, but you did laugh. And I promise you, I know who won that battle. It was definitely not Sarah. It was the angel of God. You know, we can fool around and think that we are fooling around with God's kingdom and with ourselves. But we need to come to a place where we admit, are we doing God's will or are we doing our own fleshly desires? And so Sarah was laughing because she was afraid. But and she was confronted. And I want to say to you this morning, sometimes we laugh because we don't know how God is going to do it. And we think in our hearts, you know, this is just impossible. Let's rather just go with emotions and do whatever is necessary to just get by every day. Number five, stretching toward destiny. Not satisfying with stagnation. Quit stretching and you stop growing. What we receive by reaching to our destiny is not as important as what we become by stretching toward it. You know, in us coming to a place where we stretch toward God's destiny in our lives, we start to grow within God's promises for our lives. Overcoming Christians reject the spiral of unbelief. The act of faith, despite changing the environment, will reveal even greater demonstration of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now, Abram did this, and I want to say to you, I always am amazed by the fact that Abram, after receiving God's command to take Isaac, it says, early the next morning. It says, early the next morning, he packed his donkeys, took his slaves, and he went to the mountain to worship God. with his son Isaac and the slaves. We wait for so long, and you know, we have long discussions and debates with our friends about should we, may we, can we, do you think it's a good idea? Let's just be in accountability about this one. And I'm not saying don't be in accountability, please. I know you've got big decisions. Be in accountability, please. I'm not saying that. But you know what? The fleshly desires within us allows us to reason so much that we forget that pleasing God means that you must step out early the next morning to at least step in faith in God's promises for your life. And some of us, you know, sit for too long on those wells of promise. And disbelief gripped our hearts and we forgot about those promises. We forgot about the things that God has done in and through our lives. I love people like William last week, you know, just jumping, can't stay away from the mic, you know, just because William needs to tell everyone, you know, that I am what, in my 50s, late 50s, and I'm still serving God and even more passionate than ever before. I love people like Ruth that can still admit that God is doing special stuff. I don't know, you know, always what, but I love what God is doing. You know, I have respect for that. Because if you're at that age and beyond, you're still serving God. I'm just so grateful that God has given me the opportunity to still be fervent about His kingdom. I'm so grateful that God still in my heart is, you know, putting the fire in my belly to still stand up in the morning and be excited about what He's doing. I want to say to you this morning, it's time to dig up those wells again. Now, we ask for revival. The sad reality about revival is we're not going to sleep. Okay. Ask Elizabeth. She has spent a whole of her Thursday night counseling somebody in the hospital. That's the reality when it gets to revival. We pray for revival, but when God sends the most amazing people over our path, we're not willing to even take the sacrifice. And I want to say to you, it's going to cost us. Fulfilling God's dream for your life means that you are going to give up a lot of your right. You're going to give up a lot of your sleep. You're going to give up a lot of your strength. You're going to give up a lot of your time to fulfill God's promises. And can I just say, it's not just the pastor's job. Are you with me? That's why somebody like Elizabeth will do it with a smile, because she knows it's a commitment that God is expecting of each of us. And so I want to say to you, stretching toward your destiny means that you and I need to realize that it's God's dream, it's God's promises, and it's going to cost us. Listen to this, Genesis 26, verse 18. And Isaac, I love this, this is beautiful. And Isaac dug again the wells of water that had been dug in the days of Abram, his father, which the Philistines had stopped after the death of Abram, and he gave them the names that his father had given them. Hey, woo, are you with me? Isaac realized the significance of the wells that his father dug up. And I want to say to you this morning, it's time that you rename the promises of God again for what it is. Keep walking by faith. Genesis 18 speaks of this. The same man, Abram, being in a wrestling with God. God, would you save Sodom and Gomorrah if it was for 100 people? Would you do it for 10? God, would you do it for one person? You know, the beauty of it is
how Abram's faith
grew in God. The fact that he could ask God questions like this. The fact that he could come to a wrestling with God where he says, God, please, can I do it on behalf of your people? These are your people. Can we have a conversation about this? Knowing that God's promises are yes and amen. John 4, 34, verse 38. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me to accomplish his work. Do you not say, there are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white with harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering food for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into the labor. And then Genesis 22, verse 13. And Abram lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abram went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. God will provide the ram in the thicket. It's not your job. Some of us think that we must stir the wells and that we must even stir the water and we must... Jesus is the water. Our job is just to keep the well clean, dug it open and hear God's voice more clearly because God wants to speak to us. But we need to push in and allow him to do the great works that he wants to do in our lives. Can we quickly stand? I actually have 5 things that I wanted to share with you, but I will go on next week. Because I just feel that for some of us this morning, God wants us to